This week on Retronauts, we're going to make you barf a kiss. Hey everybody, this is Bob Mackey, your host for Retronauts Pocket, our mini-episode for this week, and the subject is Captain N, specifically the episode Kevin in Videoland. If you want to play along with us, it's available free everywhere because Captain N has no value in our economy. I saw like 8 versions of this damn episode because, I don't know, no one cares about protecting Captain N's copyrights.
Is Deke even around still?
Deke became something else. I think they joined up with a cable station. Not Funimation. No. They've like Cookie Jar Entertainment or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Like how KFC is now Yum.
Yeah.
Owned under that's Yum
the last,
brand.
That's the last thing you say after you KFC.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to be talking about Captain N. In case you didn't know, it was a cartoon series that ran throughout the late 80s, early 90s about Nintendo characters. Yeah. We're going to be talking about an episode that we watched. It's sort of like a mini version of the movie month stuff I did back with the old Retronauts in a smaller, more compact format. Yeah. So I think we should talk much more suffering compacted into these 20 minutes. So I think we should do a preface because not all of our listeners are as old as us, I guess.
Should we preface with introductions?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Can you get a little closer to the mic, Jeremy? I can't hear you that well.
Hello.
That's better. So who do we have here today?
I'm Ray Barnholt.
Hey, who else do we have?
I'm Sexy Voice, and you're a robo.
What? Oh, yeah.
Wait, no, I'm Jeremy Parrish.
Okay.
And we're usgamer.net.
And you know why we're here. Talk about Captain N. So I think we should talk. I'm Bob Mackey. I said that originally.
Did you?
I did when I jumped in. When I introduced myself. I'm going to be saying my name every 30 seconds just so people know. It's going to be a sound drop.
Should you bring your parrot in? Just have.
That'd be awesome. I want Louie on a podcast.
But will you mix it up with Wario as much? No, of course not. Because you know your own name.
Yes. So let's talk about 80s cartoons. Jeremy, you were alive. Ray and I are about the same age. You were alive for more of the 80s.
I was alive for all of the 80s.
Of the 80s. Well, that is still more of the 80s.
Yeah.
So, okay, my thing is, just as an observer, someone who I'm actually very interested in animation, which is why I'm doing this episode, because this is like a sacrilege to animation. But
yeah, see, I'm interested in animation, which is why I've never watched Captain.
I was my defense is I was
too much respect for it.
I was 7, so that's my defense. But so here's what I have to say: cartoons on TV sucked for about 30 years. There were some bright spots, but basically, cartoons moved from like a very expensive way to entertain entire audiences to cheapo entertainment for the kids. Just ways to sell kids things, ways to just get kids to watch something for cheap in order to sell them products and stuff like that. And that reached its peak nightmare levels in the 80s where cartoons were just toy commercials, basically. And in many cases, the cartoons launched in an attempt to sell a new line of toys. I believe that's how Ninja Turtles started.
That's not entirely true.
Okay, go ahead.
There was also Saturday Supercade, which was built around selling video games.
That's true. But those were all based on arcade games that you couldn't take home, though, right?
Well, Atari was still big. Yeah, I mean, they had licenses.
You had home versions of Pole Position.
And yeah. Well, I guess they were just selling the idea of video games. But the fact still remains that until government intervention, take that, Reagan, Mr. Small Government, get your hands out of our cartoons, whatever. Government intervention eventually happened and said, hey, you can't just make cartoons and do like another arm of your marketing angle. It has to be entertainment, has to be educational. It can't just be a commercial.
Yeah.
So that eventually faded away.
Then they would append a 30-second PSA at the end of G.I. Joe cartoons.
And those eventually became...
that fulfilled their mandate.
Yeah. But I believe they had to cut down on just straight-up advertising and being toyetic. That's another word you should learn. That's how marketable...
It's like poetic, but stupider.
With toys.
But I think that reached kind of its ultimate fun conclusion with Animaniacs, where they had the Wheel of Morality.
Yes.
Wheel of Morality, turn, tell us the lesson we must learn.
Yes. And I believe one of the lessons was a free car or something. By the early 90s, we could sneer at the forced morality of the 80s. But in the 80s, like I said, things changed. Jeremy,
let's turn to the old guy.
Grandpa, can you tell us now?
Well, back when I was watching cartoons as a whippersnapper.
The thing is, like, the cartoons that you have nostalgia for, I cannot bear to look at just because...
What, like G.I. Joe?
Like G.I. Joe, Transformers.
I don't have nostalgia for Transformers.
Okay, well, I thought you
I thought
did for some reason.
But the cartoon was a god-awful abomination. Actually, the G.I. Joe cartoon was a god-awful abomination.
Yeah, and even, like, I'll admit, like, I grew up with Ninja Turtles. I would not go back because I know it's garbage. But, I mean, can you talk about growing up in the 80s and the cartoons that you saw and, like, What did you think of them? Like, because I'm spoiled. I grew up in the 90s, and that's when cartoons kind of started to turn around, be more creator-driven. And I had, like, a huge disdain for, like, Hanna-Barbera and, like, Deke and Filmation stuff.
I had a huge disdain for Hanna-Barbera, okay, too. Cool. I could just, like, you know, as a second grader, I could still tell.
You're like, I don't want the Hair Bear bunch.
Made.
Yeah.
Like, why does the Flintstones look so much worse than the stuff that's coming from Marvel Sunbow? Like, G.I. Joe might have been badly written, but it was still sometimes clever, and it had, like, high quality, expensive animation for
right.
television.
And I should
that
mention
was that was not a given. For
like
those
a,
things.
A fun fact to all of this is that though some of the worst cartoons in the 80s used some of the best Japanese animation studios mm-hmm. just because there was more money. Mm-hmm. And this episode of Captain N actually looks pretty damn good compared to what eventually would happen. It's very anime looking,
yeah.
the way characters move and emote, and the way a lot of the comedy doesn't really transition
yeah, Japanese,
that well.
Japanese students or studios. There was a lot of outsourcing done because just a different economy at that point. Yeah, I don't know that I can speak for every kid, but even, I don't know, among my friends there was still a lot of cynicism about these advertising
okay.
cartoons. And, you know, the shows for toys that I enjoyed, like G.I. Joe or Transformers, I enjoyed those shows to some degree because I was like, oh yeah, I like these toys.
Right.
But I was already interested in the toys. Something like, you know, the Thundercats cartoon did not make me into, or He-Man did not make me want to own those toys.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just wondering
because
like, what,
those toys were bad. Like,
yeah.
They were not good toys. They were cheaply made.
Stinko.
And
whatever the skunk.
Stink-or.
Stink-or. Okay. I like
yeah,
Stinko
I mean, like,
better.
The things I liked about G.I. Joe and Transformers were their intricacy as toys and how
right.
playable they were. Whereas He-Man was like, you could bend at the shoulders and the yeah. hips and the waist. And
he's very
was,
much yeah. the embodiment of the character, just
yeah.
a slab.
Yeah, and so, like, I would watch the cartoons because they were on when I got home from school.
Right.
And it would be on as I was doing homework or whatever, but I never really invested in any of these cartoons.
I was just wondering because, like, and I'm sure Ray was the same way, I'm guessing. I, like, sort of only became culturally aware in the 90s, and by that point, cartoons were making fun of their horrible past. Like, mm-hmm. Ren and Stimpy, we talked about it on the last episode. That was a direct result of its creator just being destroyed by the animation industry in the 80s. He had a chance to go insane, and he did. Literally. that's a different episode for a different
yeah.
show.
Don't look
yeah.
a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah. And I mean, strange. Do we need to clarify what Saturday morning cartoons were or why this was an important day?
Yeah, because like they have been pretty much obliterated.
Yeah. Like,
because of, like, okay.
But,
I don't
yeah.
like the advertisement cartoons either, but I also didn't like the huge push in the later 90s to only have educational informational programming.
Right.
As, like, sort of, like, how about we just fix our own school system first?
Yeah.
You know? Instead of trying to force
yeah,
this stuff.
There were occasionally non-advertising cartoons in the Saturday morning sphere.
Yes.
But, yeah, basically, the three major networks on Saturday morning would have a block of cartoon programming from about 9 a.m. to noon or something
like that, and then
somewhere.
Sports started.
It was basically
started.
Like a three-hour
yeah.
block of cartoons, mm-hmm. and then, yeah, sports would take over. And so, yeah, kids just watched a lot of cartoons Saturday morning,
and
there was always pretty tense competition. Like, for kids, this was basically the equivalent of, I don't know, what's a good comparison?
Mardi Gras. I don't know.
I can't even think of shows that compete in time slots because everyone has DVRs now.
It's weird to think, though.
It's a totally different universe.
Yeah, I mean, even cable had not proliferated as it has in these days. I mean, go back to the early 90s, late 80s. There are, like, episodes of sitcoms devoted to the characters getting cable in their house, like The Simpsons and The Cosby Show and stuff like that. It was a novelty.
Yeah,
like, we
yeah.
have more than three channels. That was
it
a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we do sound like old people, but I just want to, like, contextualize this because there were not those options. If you were a kid, maybe you'd have weekday cartoons, but Saturday mornings were just like they belonged to you. It was 3 or 4 hours of pure entertainment for you, and
yeah,
that's why they were
really,
special.
Really sugary cereal,
yeah,
and your parents could put you in front of the television, and that sugar would burn off as you watched these cartoons.
You'd be occupied.
And it kind of kept you sedate and calm.
Yeah.
While you were home.
While your parents
on
were.
Saturday morning.
Oh my God! What were they doing?
Who knows?
Sleeping in.
Yeah,
that's what I'd like to think.
Basically, recovering from the week
yeah.
in which they worked, and then you know the sugar would burn off, and then you could have a nice family afternoon together, have
mm-hmm.
lunch, go to the putt-putt or something.
Right,
yeah.
And then, you know, Sunday, of course, everyone had church. So you'd just go to church and whatever.
So, yeah, like, I just wanted to bring up the fact that these were important. And even in the late 80s, early 90s, they were on their way out. Like, NBC got rid of their Saturday morning cartoons in the early 90s, like 92. So even as I was a kid, things
yeah.
were going out.
Right after, like, Captain N, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to Videoland.
Wake up, Kid Icarus.
Bye.
Gumbo Castlevania!
It's Klongo Land!
By the brain, we'll get you, little princess!
Princess, the palace is under siege!
Behold, the ultimate warp zone!
Kevin, I thought I told you to clean up your room.
Captain N, the Game Master.
So let's talk about Captain N. I don't think we need to go into the details. It was created by Andy Hayward, who basically created a ton of Deke shows. And by the way,
did you write for 1UP?
Andy Hayward?
Oh,
there's
no,
a guy.
Andrew Hayward.
Andrew Hayward.
Andrew Hayward. That's right.
Andrew Hayward. Yeah. Sorry, you're thinking of Justin Hayward. This is like some strange.
Confusing.
Yes. Created by Andy Hayward, who did a lot of Deke stuff, and I got to say, like, as like a little kid, you know, the fact that Deke sounded like Dick was hilarious,
right.
Or at least looked like it. That was a very popular playground. I don't know, meme. I guess we can call it that.
Sure.
The series debuted on 9/9/89, I guess 10 years before the Dreamcast.
Yeah. How far we come.
Yes. The biggest day in entertainment history is finally here. So this episode was called Kevin in Videoland. I did want to point out that it was written by Jeffrey Scott. If you look at his IMDb page, he basically just created most 80s cartoon content.
Wow.
And I was reading an interview with him, and it's not a great interview because eventually the people are asking him questions. He's like, I don't know. I like wrote a billion of these. I don't know. But he wrote the entire first season by himself. That's how little they cared about quality. It's like, you go in a closet somewhere, write a bunch of dumb cartoons for kids. And he was talking about, sometimes I write 2 scripts in a day. And
yeah,
so obviously there was no head writer. There was no writing room. There were no powwows. It was like, hey, dude, who writes cartoons? Write a bunch of cartoons. And here's a Nintendo. Figure out what these games are and make a world around it. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
So I guess, Ray, can you go into the backstory of Captain N? It had a different name. It had a different... purpose.
So that was legit. That wasn't just something you sent us as like a practical joke.
Oh no. Yeah, these men are referring to something called Buddy Boy, which was the prototypical version of Captain N, and it had the same supporting cast mostly, but the hero was Buddy Boy, who was not the teenager that Captain N was, but instead like this backwards cap wearing little boy. And he was originally based on Paperboy.
Weird. So weird.
Yeah, the game character, but apparently Nintendo was not approving of that, I guess for obvious reasons, because it wasn't their creation.
Right.
So.
And there's some really great, I'll try to link to it in the blog or however this goes up, but there's some great concept art of the original concept.
Yeah.
And it's like a little, like one of the images is of a little kid praying, and he's surprised that Kid Icarus is there, like an angel is there to grant his wish, but his parents are in the background, and his dad is brandishing a shotgun.
Yeah.
Or is clearly like loading a shotgun to kill Kid Icarus with.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
That's what I would do.
Like, go ahead, Ryan.
Well, also, like the original seed of Captain, I mean, the links to this are not totally clear, but there was those Nintendo Power stories called Captain Nintendo.
That's right.
Which was not hardly at all similar, really, but it was about, you know, this hero who gets sucked into the game world and, you know,
and then
fights some monsters.
And peanut stuff. Butter and jelly sandwiches with Link?
No, that was different.
Different story.
Different story.
Okay.
But yeah, so that was like one of the alleged seeds of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And Buddy Boy. But yeah.
Eventually, Captain N became Kevin, your Lily White every team from Suburbia, who has a complaining mom.
Yeah.
And he has all your problems,
yeah.
I guess. Identify with this character
like
now.
Like homework.
Yeah, yeah.
And taking the garbage out.
Yeah, I'd rather risk life than have to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, the story is simple. And I feel like the thing about doing this podcast was I was a little hesitant because all the jokes about this show have been made. I want to try to avoid them. We should point out some of the stupid things about this, but it's more like seeing how this is actually like a commercial, see what they did, how they avoided certain pitfalls or jumped right into them in many cases.
I think we should also mention that I feel like, personally, there is a direct antecedent to Captain N in the form of a cartoon from earlier in the 80s called Kid Video.
Oh,
I
yes.
I don't know if you guys remember that.
It was
basically
before
the same
my time.
Gimmick. There was a live action, it was like a band, like a kids band, rock
right.
band of like teenagers. And they were all brought into the flip side, which was this kind of like imaginary world of music. So they became cartoon characters. In fact, in the intro, the girl says, "Ay, ay, ay, we look like cartoons," which is one of those stupid things that's stuck in my mind for decades.
Yeah,
and I don't know why. But then at the end of the show, they would, you know, they'd have their cartoon adventures, and then at the end of the show there would be a like a live action music video where they would like perform.
I do remember that part at least.
Yeah. So the concept of, you know, like being transformed into a video game was not exactly new. I'm sure that had been around. I actually, you know, before Kid Video started, Nintendo Power had a contest to come up with like some kind of story or something.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure
I referenced that earlier.
Peanut
butter and jelly thing.
Right. Yeah. The one that I sent in was pretty much that same stupid thing. And of course, it didn't.
Captain J, the Game Master.
Exactly.
This game. I mean, we're not going to talk about the plot of this episode. It's very, very straightforward. Videoland, and we should point out the fact that they go to huge lengths to avoid saying Nintendo. He's not Captain Nintendo.
Right.
He's Captain N. They're not in Nintendo Land. They're in Video Land. Nintendo Land is a different thing.
Yeah. Same thing with the wizard. It's like nobody ever said Nintendo until like a little bit in the middle of that movie.
That could either be mandatory or something they did to avoid accusations of, you know, being predatory to children.
I wonder, because most of the characters in the show are not, I don't know. There's like a mix of first party and third party characters.
Yeah.
And it's not like Acclaim All Stars or whatever it was, where it was just a bunch of third
party. Video Power.
Power team.
Yeah. That's it.
Power team. Yes.
And another thing I noticed watching this again, much, much long after the fact that I originally watched it, they go to great lengths to not mention specific games. Some of the worlds in Videoland are based on games, so there is Castlevania. That's
is a world called Metroid.
And there's a world called Metroid. Yeah. But they're not, I mean, Kid Icarus's name and Mega Man's name are the names of their games, but I feel like they're not directly marketing as hard as they could.
Kevin name drops Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
My theory's all falling apart. Yeah. So we should talk about the characters they chose to use. So we have Captain N, who is boring. We have Lana, who is just like, I was not very happy.
Sex pot.
Exactly. She was a little too sexy for this show, I think. And I think Kevin was a little too old for this show. He felt like, I don't know, maybe he's like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
And the romance between them was like a little too, I don't know, maybe out of the range of the viewing audience.
A little too Padme and Anakin.
I'd say it's more convincing than that.
It's like that Little Mermaid syndrome. Let's have the slightly sexualized teenage character.
Right. And I feel like it could have been saved by the Bell syndrome, where kids like to watch teenage stuff, so they made Kevin a teenager. And it was on the same channel and everything. Yeah. So
I never watched Saved by the Bell.
Oh, I did way too much. So we have Captain N. We have Lana, who is this made-up princess character who serves the role as any princess in a Nintendo game to get captured and carried around and lusted after. And many, many characters in this game, in the series, want her hardcore. So we also have Kid Icarus. I mean, the jokes have been made. His personality is that he has a Brooklyn accent. He sounds like the squeaky voice teen from The Simpsons, and he ends words with Icus.
And also, his name is supposed to be Pitt, but they called him Kid Icarus.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. His name is Kid Icarus.
That bothered me even back then.
I mean, do your research, Jeffrey Scott. Come on.
Yeah, I think I imagine like they gave them a bunch of games, but they only looked at the manuals.
That's true, yeah.
The manual said Pitt.
Or the box cover, I guess.
They flipped through them really quickly, I bet.
Another character is, we also have on the good guys, we have Simon Belmont, who is reimagined as like a vain, pompous asshole.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
The thing is,
where did they come up with this characterization for Simon Belmont?
I don't...
Why is he wearing a bomber jacket?
That is true.
He's
and like
a 14th
goggles?
Century vampire hunter barbarian.
Yeah, who also goes to the ski resort on holiday.
I do want to say also that a lot of these characters look like they fell out of the real Ghostbusters, because same animation studio, so I imagine this the same amount of talent, or they share talent or something like that. So the weird thing is, I didn't mind Simon Belmont, because he's the only character that actually has a personality that's definable, so there's something there to him. Because with Kid Icarus and Mega Man, who we didn't mention, Mega Man is a guy with a laryngectomy who says Mega before everything, I guess.
Yeah, he's a squat midget. It's really weird.
And
I think actually Disney completely ripped off Simon Belmont for Gaston.
Oh man,
from Beauty and the Beast.
Well, Simon Belmont
is. You can sing the song Gaston and change it to Simon.
Simon,
and it works.
Well, watching it, I thought Simon's hair was like one step removed from Egon's hair in the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
he just needs like a little swirl or however the hell they created that. Who else am I missing on the good guy side? Is that it?
The dog, Duke.
Oh yeah, Duke. Who clearly they just painted a dog's face for the live action intro.
Yeah. And then in later seasons they added Game Boy.
Right. And that was just Frank Welker babbling into a microphone. Mm.
Is that what they based BMO on?
I would not doubt it.
Yeah, so those are the characters. And we also have some enemies. As we said, Mother Brain. Mother Brain is the main antagonist. someone really liked Little Shop of Horrors because Levi Stubbs Jr., who has a remarkable, like, no other voice sounds like this, but yeah. Mother Queen, sorry, Mother Brain is like a drag queen figure. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
Like, a strange, like, sexually, I mean, I feel like they're playing with some sort of, like, like, I don't know, weird dynamic there that maybe kids wouldn't understand.
It's,
but
it's really strange that they said, so there's this brain in a vat in outer space that's an evil mastermind. We should have it voiced by a 60-year-old former R&B singer.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Motown was being revived in the 80s, but still, that's weird.
I think Earth, Wind & Fire had a better revival than Mother Brain.
The thing is, I enjoyed listening to the performance because it's so crazy, and I have to imagine that old guy in a recording booth, okay, say, King Hippo, get over here, and he's like, what the hell?
Isn't that too bad? The Ultimate Warp Zone has drained the palace's power, giving me a perfect opportunity to strike a fatal blow at the heart of Videoland. I've got a job for you.
Anything you desire, my sweet potato.
Not you, Eggplant Wizard. King Hippo.
No fair. It's my turn. He got to do your last evil deed.
Let me tell you why. Because you busted up the last job, you incompetent vegetable. King Hippo. Go to the palace and punch out their defenses. Then, kidnap the princess and bring her to me.
Okay.
King Hippo, get over here!
That's good. I wasn't even going to imitate it.
Yeah, my voice can only take so much of that.
Yeah.
Mother Brain is my least hated character, because it is kind of inspired.
Yeah, I feel like... And I mean, King Hippo is just a stupid heavy who...
Right, so... On Mother Brain, I want to point out one aspect of her design. Her design is really strange because instead of being a brain, she's a membrane. Like, kind of stretched across.
That's true.
Front.
That's true.
But then sometimes you see behind her and, like, you can
see her,
like,
lips.
You see all of her teeth.
Yeah,
like,
I love that.
Like,
yeah.
Bound into the back of her. So it's like, it's just really strange. Like, on the front, there's a working face, but then they actually thought about what the back of her would look like.
Yeah.
And it's gross.
Like, the designs are
and
cool.
And weird, but, like, congratulations to them for coming up with something so bizarre and at the same time, kind of logical.
The problem with 80s cartoons, though, was they came up with these super complex designs that they did not have the money to animate well, which is why things like Batman the Animated Series were so great, because the designs were simple, which made it easier for the animators to work with.
That also contributes to what I was going to say. It's like the bad guys are just these crazy reused cartoon tropes where it's just like the evil mastermind who then sends out the henchmen, the bumbling henchmen.
I mean, Mother Brain clearly has an army. Why is she not sending the army out?
She is Dr. Claw, who is Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah.
And
we have to mention, we've talked about this before, but King Hippo's nipples are lovingly rendered. So much pencil mileage went into them.
Yeah, speaking of Ghostbusters. Jeez, they really honed their talent with that.
Yeah, I feel like King Hippo was originally just a design from Ghostbusters, like some sort of boxing type ghost.
Why is he blue? Isn't he supposed to be Samoan?
I don't, he's not even blue in the Nintendo game. I think he's like a Pacific Islander or something. Like that was a stereotype.
Maybe he's a zombie now.
He's dead.
Yes, but like, his physique is really genuinely grotesque.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
It's difficult to watch because it's so gross.
It's hard to watch. Yeah, I mean, I think there's like a gross-out element to it, like in Ghostbusters. We also have Eggplant Wizard, who I actually like how this character looks in the game, and I like how whenever he's knocked around or falls over, like, just fruit flies out of him for some reason. It's very strange and...
probably the most accurate-looking in the cartoon, too.
Yeah. Who else are we forgetting? Is that it? Basically, I guess Donkey Kong is here in the game.
Who is more like King Kong.
Yeah. And
Universal was so angry.
They go to Congo Land. So basically, in the episode, we're not going to talk too much about the plot because there is none. Kevin falls into video game world, and he basically has to be convinced to stay there, which I found really strange.
Where am I?
Well, you're in Video Land. The Ultimate Warp Zone brought you here.
You mean like Warp Zone 4 and Super Mario Brothers?
Something like that. The legend foretold of your coming to help restore freedom to our world. That's why it gave you that super power pad and zapper.
Me restore freedom to Videoland? Hey, I don't even have my driver's license yet. And this is just a toy. This can't be happening to me.
Sure is, Copernicus. It's happening to all of us.
If you cannot help us, Mother Brain will conquer all Videoland. And our freedom will be lost forever.
Hey, you got the wrong guy. I'm going home. Come on, Duke.
Like, he's not on board from the first second. Like, he sees all these characters. He's ready to leave after he meets everybody.
I think if you're a little kid, you're like, fuck yeah, man, I'll be in Video Land. But, like, as a later teen, I would just be like, man, I can't handle this, no.
Where am I going to get my cigarettes?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Who am I going to ask to buy booze for me?
Yeah, and another thing, like, I'm just going to point out things I noticed, because the plot is simple. Kevin lands in there. They convince him to help. He helps, but I guess Mother Brain is never fully defeated because it's a cartoon that needs to be rerun.
Right.
So you can't actually...
He gets captured in a banana at some point?
Yeah, Eggplant Wizard, instead of turning him into a banana, he puts him inside of a banana. That would be the best version of Eggplant Wizard. It would cut out all the BS you need to go through in Kid Icarus.
Yeah.
But, so yes, we talked about Princess Lana. What I found funny was how three characters totally wanted to put her in the bone zone. Like, Kevin, Icarus, and Simon were all super protective of her and, like, wanting...
Icarus, really?
Icarus was, yeah. Like, super devoted to her in the beginning. Yeah, and the funny thing is
I noticed...
Bone
zone, but...
I'm going to say bone zone. when Lana is introduced, she's introduced initially. You see her initially. But when she's introduced to Kevin, ooh, sexy pan up her sexy cartoon body, everybody. That's for the guys out there.
Yeah, that's what I mean, was talking about, Little Mermaid syndrome.
Yeah, so. I mean, she's a little too sexy for this cartoon.
Yeah.
I feel like some kids might have had some special feelings they had to talk about after watching this episode.
I can admit,
but that's okay,
I never
because
did.
The rest were, like, falling for Gadget. And
that's true.
That did to them.
Well, I think... having King Hippo on the next scene would immediately warp you, or at least, like, I don't think anything is sexy anymore.
We just needed more jump cuts to King Hippo's nipples. That's
yeah. Another thing I noticed is Kevin's powers are really ill-defined, and also F you to the animator who made the select button pause.
Yes!
I saw
yes!
that. I've always hated that.
To hell with you.
Yes, and it feels weird. Like, why doesn't Kevin just always pause? Because that seems to be the best way out of any...
But select is pause in Mega Man.
No!
Yes,
this is Nintendo.
These are Nintendo products.
First party license.
Another cool thing I liked, and this is actually one of the cool things about the Mario cartoon, is that you hear a lot of kind of 80s pop versions or 80s takes, contemporary takes on 8-bit tunes. There's a lot of weird, like, noodling of what they thought the Kid Icarus theme was. Like, whenever Kid Icarus was around, it would just be this weird, like, keyboard noodling, sort of in the same scale as the Kid Icarus theme. And then I did hear Mega Man, like, I don't know what stage it was, but there
was like
Guts
Man or something.
Yeah, it was like a rocks remix, or like, at least like a synth remix. I liked it. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it's really arbitrary. Like, for some reason, whenever Simon's doing anything, it's the password music from Castlevania 2.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really do anything. It's like, do 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 do.
A weird thing is, I think Deke or someone, I think Deke might have pioneered it with this show, but the music is done by, I think his name is Chaim Saban.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And all of the shows that he scores are just wall-to-wall music. Like, it never lets up. Like, when they redub Dragon Ball Z, you never didn't hear music. It was music from start to finish, and everyone hated it. And it was, like, the worst music. So you can blame him for the music in this if you don't like it. But he kind of ruined Dragon Ball Z. And that's a weird thing to say. So...
Well.
Some questions I have for you guys. Did this show help contribute to the popularity of its respective characters? I think that this game sort of put Castlevania, Kid Icarus, and Mega Man out there as big, big deals because millions of kids watch this cartoon. Uh-oh, time out. I'm getting time out. Or I'm being warded away by Christianity.
That's Japanese.
Okay, no. What do you think? I mean, Kid Icarus especially. Kid Icarus was old and crusty by the time Captain N came out, and I only cared about playing Kid Icarus because Captain N featured him.
It might have helped with that game, but a lot of people I knew already were playing Castlevania and Mega Man and Punch-Out. I mean, yeah, like, those games had traction.
Right.
The things that my friends and I talked about.
I just wonder if these things would have made these games, like, a constant... this point of discussion or just constantly out there, you know.
Well, it is hard for me to say because I was old enough.
I was going
to
say Jeremy
no one
was...
I knew was watching Captain N. I wasn't. Like, this is the first time I've ever watched Captain N.
Yeah.
Like, I could tell at a glance it was terrible.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with it. So maybe I'm not the best sampling to take from, but, like, my friends who were into video games liked the games already.
Right.
The cartoon had...
But I feel like it must have been a huge thing for Konami and a huge thing for Capcom just to have their characters front and center every week for millions of people. I mean, I know Nintendo Power and other things acted as a good way to inform kids about these characters and what they're doing, but this was, like, on TV for years, and these characters... And in reruns for years, so, like, these characters are always being, you know, televised, or at least kids are being made aware of them.
But the Mario and Zelda cartoons were first.
They were,
And so Captain just became bolted onto those.
Actually, I'm pretty sure the Mario cartoon was the same year, 89.
Oh, yeah.
Super Show, right?
Yeah. Probably first in syndication.
Yeah.
Because that's where it was originally.
Again, you have the Acclaim cartoon. I don't think anyone cares about Quirk the Tomato.
I do.
That's because no one cared about him in the first place. I think the care had to be there originally. So
That's actually an interesting note. It's because the cartoon had third-party characters, but the Captain N comic from Valiant, which was, you know, Nintendo first-party licensed all those comic series, they had to bring in only first-party characters. So that's how Samus actually shows up in Captain N Universe.
I read those comics and I hated them. They were hideous. I don't know.
were they Valiant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Valiant. Yeah, it was like Valiant. One of Valiant's first series
wasn't
was
that
like
Jim Shooter's gig after he left Marvel.
I honestly don't remember any of the names, but yeah, but yeah, that was their setup at least. So yeah, they did try and make Captain N a more serious. Valiant did.
Okay. How did that happen?
That's what you call a Valiant effort.
Did Lana like come down with some terminal disease or?
Oh my! Yeah, I think you're actually exactly
really
right.
Really. Okay.
Like, yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Don't give that to the kids. So yeah, like something I noticed about just Nintendo cartoons in general is that they sort of dried up around the early 90s. Like, I do want to talk about more of these, maybe Space and Metal a little more because they are painful. But think like Mario World is just dire. That cartoon is just terrible.
Yeah.
It's nothing but goddamn rock puns that wouldn't even be acceptable in the Flintstones 30 years earlier.
Yeah.
Like that was the worst thing that I think came out with a Nintendo name attached to it, at least as a TV show. Maybe Donkey Kong Country, that awful CGI cartoon, was worse.
Right. I mean, the whole thing kind of makes me wonder how, like, Japan let them get away with that, Nintendo America. Because, like, now everything is so focused
as
far as merchandising. Right. Everything is so on model
world,
and everything.
The world is smaller these days.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
It's easier for things to get back. I think in a lot of cases, especially, you know, Nintendo was still kind of figuring out how to be a world-dominating superpower. they probably didn't pay that much attention to what was happening in the provinces.
I can see, like, Hiroshi Yamauchi sitting down for, like, some television, and he just, Captain N shows up, and he, like, just spits out a Santori all over the big screen TV.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at stuff that was happening in Japan, like the Mario Wish Upon a Star or whatever cartoon, that was a lot more on model, a lot more accurate to the show.
It is weird that you mentioned that, like, Japan rarely animated these characters.
Was that a Mega Man cartoon that was Wishing Upon a Star?
I don't know.
Okay, so there were cartoons.
The Mega Man one was super on model,
Yeah. But the Mario one was too. I think there was a Dragon Ball.
There was a movie, the like Rescue Princess Peach movie. It was a full length movie, and it's really on model, I think, for the most
except
part.
Except Luigi's colors.
Luigi's colors are a little off.
He's
but
blue,
I mean,
and yellow.
Yeah, it looks like Mario, and in this case, like obviously everybody's hideous except for Princess Lana.
There were many more like manga, game based manga than there were animated TV shows.
I just find it weird
until
that
Pokemon.
I mean, maybe that was just Nintendo of Japan's philosophy. Like, we don't want to hit these characters too hard so people get sick of them, because there was one Mario animated movie and then like three direct to video specials, and that was it for Mario, period, like animated.
Yeah.
And then I can't think of that. I don't think they animated Zelda ever. I don't think they animated. I mean, Kirby would eventually become an. Like, I feel like they're okay to animate their properties they don't care that much about, like Kirby.
Right. Like, which, after Pokemon, it was Kirby and F-Zero.
Oh, yeah, F-Zero. Yeah. God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, the wonderful F-Zero anime.
Yeah. So I guess, like, they just caught wind of how their image might be getting a little tarnished from these inferior products.
Possibly.
We're putting that out there, I guess.
But, like, I don't know. I mean,
or maybe licensing fees just went up.
I think the Nintendo boom was kind of over by
the
90s.
Yeah, we should point out, like, 89 was, like, 88, 89 were, like, the biggest Nintendo 8-bit years, right?
They were the salad days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Deke also got Sonic.
That's right. So. Man, Deke was cleaning up.
Yeah.
Ruining minds and raking it in.
Yeah.
So, do we notice any notable absences from Captain N? I mean, I found it weird that Kid Icarus was such a major part of the show, considering that it was like a 3-year-old game by that point, and everyone had pretty much read about it in Nintendo Power for years. Anything that you kind of expected to see but didn't? I don't know. The choices seem kind of strange.
Based on what I know about the rest of the series, like, not really. I mean,
I guess other characters worked their way in eventually. Yeah.
There was like a Tetris episode. There was a Final Fantasy episode. I mean,
there was a Final Fantasy episode. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Just like,
was there a Dragon Warrior episode?
I want to say there might have been.
It may have been just Final Fantasy.
Okay.
I mean, obviously Zelda and Mario themselves, those two franchises.
Yeah.
Are kind of conspicuous in their absence.
There's
Donkey Kong.
There was a Zelda crossover episode.
Was there? Okay.
Yeah,
that's right. I mean, there was a Zelda cartoon too. But
yeah, it was a crossover with that. Basically.
Okay, got it.
So, yeah.
But just the fact that those two franchises weren't represented in the main cast, I guess Nintendo saw those as, even back then, as kind of their big, like the franchises with Cloud that they thought they could develop independently.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, again, I mean, look at the characters. I mean, like we said, what was the biggest Nintendo games at the time? Punch-Out, and all that stuff. Maybe that's why those characters got worked
actually
in there.
Maybe it was like, okay guys, no more TV, we're gonna make this Mario Brothers movie. That's what we're going to do next. Oh, and then that happened.
We got Bob Hoskins, guys. He was Eddie Valiant.
Oh, man. He's going to do the same accent and everything.
Well, originally it was, we got Danny DeVito. This is going to be great.
It's even, that would, oh, come on. Give John Leguizamo a mustache. I want that in the director's cut.
Yeah, exactly.
Just give him a mustache, guys. It's not that hard. So. And get rid of that weird yin-yang shirt he's wearing.
It's like in there were like three seasons of Captain N, and then like the third one, it was just like a total downgrade in terms of animation quality.
It's like
the characters
they went
were
to,
weirdly redesigned, and like they sort of looked a little more like squat and stuff.
Who knew Turkmenistan had animation studios?
Or knew what a Game Boy was.
They actually simplified the characters so they could they were, I mean, they're way too complex. The designs are way too complex to begin with, especially Simon. He's got so many like trinkets and pouches and pockets
he's kind of Nomura'd.
Yeah.
You're right. That was a problem with a lot of 80s animation, is that they would design these key character designs that were just too complicated. I was looking at some G.I. Joe animation models a little while back, and like, you know, the characters' bandoliers are just like detailed with every single little bullet, and not just like a line, like a hash mark line, but like, you know, here's the tip of the bullet and here's the back of the
casing.
Right,
it's like super ornate.
You can't draw those.
Yeah,
you know, a million times.
If you're making a movie, maybe with that kind of a budget, but when you're relying
on G.I. Joe movie and it didn't have.
I forgot there was one of those. So that was Captain N. Do we have any final thoughts? I recommend watching it if you haven't, just as a sort of novelty. It is super cheesy. It is super 80s. It is like so of the Nintendo Mania era that I feel like this show was the product of a bunch of like crusty executives going, kids like Nintendo, get one of them Nintendo shows on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like the guy that was in the corner is like, you write 13 episodes tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's how it happened. But
they were in a vault, much like we are.
It is a window into a much more cynical era of children's programming. And like I said, I was fortunate enough to grow up in the era where creators were getting control of their shows. And it was like, hey, we can make a cartoon just full of silly drawings and stories, and not just to sell something or not just to exist as marketing for another product.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was still around in the 80s with like things like DuckTales, Ralph Bakshi's Mighty Mouse. A few other notable exceptions, but they were mainly the exceptions.
Disney's Gummy Bears.
Gummy Bears, Woozle Popples.
Actually, just the whole Disney thing.
Yeah, like, they made
had pretty high quality animation, decent writing.
Yeah, they made quality their initiative from DuckTales onwards. I mean, Gummy Bears was okay, too, so.
Yeah.
That's my official statement on Gummy Bears. I'll die
Gummy
with
Bears,
it.
Gummy Bears, I can't remember it that well, but I do know that the animation quality was much higher than pretty much
definitely.
Anything else on Saturday mornings, except the Littles. The Littles had really good animation.
Was The Littles anime?
I don't think so, but it's kind of from the same place that the Secret World of Arrietty came from.
Oh, got it.
Borrowers.
Yeah. So I guess that's it for Captain N.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I will say that after being made to watch Captain N for this episode, I don't feel bad at all about the prog rock episode. Any functions I had, they're gone.
I think both were informative in their own way. I don't know. At least I don't have a fondness for Captain N, Jeremy. You still listen to the prog rock?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
So, contact info. We are at Retronauts on Twitter. I am at Bob Servo on Twitter. Can we talk about our other Twitter accounts, you guys?
I'm RDBAAA.
And I am GameSpite.
Yay. So, let's go into some plugs. Promotion for us. Go to our blog, Retronauts.com, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, SoundCloud, and Twitch.tv. We're just Retronauts on there. You know how to do that. And also, please review us in the iTunes Music Store. Let us know how we're doing. That helps a lot, especially since we're starting with a new feed and no one knows where we are or who we are. Just giving us a rating will let people know that we're making shows again if they're not clued in already.
Yes, exactly.
So, do you guys...
That is important.
Yes, please. Just take 5 minutes or a minute out of your day. And please review us if you can. So, let's do plugs before we go. Me, I do stuff for Joystick, and that's about it for me for now. Ray, what are you working on?
I still do my video game history magazine, Scroll.vg, and otherwise I just flounder.
Nice. I'm in that territory, too.
By day, I'm a mild-mannered senior editor for usgamer.net, and by night, I am the avenging spirit behind telebunny.net.
And at lunchtime, you're Captain J., the Game Master. And we will see you next week with an all-new Retronauts. Take it easy, guys.
Fighting for peace in Metroidvania.
Hex yeah.